Welcome to Lioness Tribe, and today I am interviewing the beautiful, the amazing, the incredible Holly McHugh. Holly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I'm so thrilled to be here.
So I just wanted to give you a little brief introduction. We will put your bio into the show notes as well, so everybody can have a little nose and see exactly who you are. But Holly is a sales and messaging coach. She is an incredible mama to two children, isn't that right?
Yes,
Holly. Yeah, two girls. I am right. But the amazing thing, well, one of the amazing things about you is that you have gotten yourself to multiple six figures working only 3 days a week in your business. And you grew your business and your family at the same time, which just lights up all of my light switches and turns me on, baby.
So pleased that I turn you on, Lisa.
So talk to me a little bit about it, Holly.
Sure. Just how it all happened.
Yeah.
I have a 1 and a 3-year-old. I had a very unconventional start into entrepreneurship. I never actually intended to be an entrepreneur at the start. But following a bit of a quarter life crisis, I had a big self-discovery and, you know, what's the purpose of life type of conversation in my mid-20s when I was working as a brand strategist in marketing. So I worked in very, very big global marketing companies from my entire business background. So that's really where I kind of learned how to do stuff online. And where I kind of really understood, you know, the power of branding, connecting to our consumers and all that amazing stuff. So that was an amazing experience. But I found myself just really struggling to feel happy and to, you know, not know how to kind of just show up and perform at work without that constant fear of being found out to be a fraud, really, and going through all the motions of, you know, a demanding, fast-paced environment, not really feeling like I could keep up with it, and just feeling really stressed. And it's that kind of crazy time where, you know, you feel like you've ticked all the boxes and you got to where you wanted to in your career, and then you're like, oh, I'm not actually happy. And that's really confusing when you're in your early 20s, because you thought the dream job was going to make you happy, right? And that's what it's all been for. So that was kind of the trigger point that really set me on a whole new trajectory, full stop, in career and in life. And I will never forget some of the defining moments of that. You know, like I will never forget literally crying on the bathroom floor to my husband, just how miserable I was and how stressed that I was. And I thought, is this just because it's London life? Is it because it's corporate life? Is it that I'm just not cut out for it? So that's what really took me down the path of coaching and NLP and all this amazing stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then I decided to become certified because I just really got quite obsessed with everything to do with personal development. And then
you're talking really to your sister.
And you kind of go from this place of thinking I'm the only one who hasn't figured it out. I'm the only one who gets stressed. I'm the only one who can't handle pressure. And then suddenly you go through this bit of awakening and you have this whole level of self-awareness and social awareness. And you start looking around, you're like, actually, there's no way I'm the only one here. And you notice other women are struggling too with the same things, the same lack of confidence, the same fear of, you know, that, as I said, being found out. They don't really know what we're doing, that we're winging it. And so that really compelled me to want to share what I'd learned. And that had been so powerful and so life-changing for me in terms of mindset techniques and just reevaluating what was important. So that was my big passion. And then I moved from London to Sydney thinking, I'm going to get a job in HR. I'm going to do learning and development. I'm going to put all my coaching techniques into practice. And no one cared. No one gave a shit because my CV said marketing. And so in Sydney, they're like, nah, you've got to stay in marketing. I was like, what? No, I want to go. I'm really passionate about this, that, and the other. So anyway, to cut a long story short, the only way that I could explore this new world of coaching in an intentional way was to start my own business. So it really just started as dipping a toe in, seeing where this went. And I was able to negotiate a part-time senior marketing role in an amazing blue chip Fortune 500 company, which is literally unheard of, so that I had a day per week to focus on my business. That then led to 2 days a week because it started taking off. And then I had my first daughter in 2018 and I went on mat leave and I basically just never went back. And so kind of crazily, I was building this business for a family I didn't even have at the time. But once I started really connecting to the work and realized, oh my gosh, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. The moments that kind of really made me persevere, even when it was tough, was thinking ahead to, but imagine how amazing it will be if I can have the flexibility around a future family, if I just stick with it. So that really became the driving force. So it's funny how things all kind of slot into place in this mystery called life, but that's basically how it came about.
Can I ask you though, Holly, like, so am I right? Did you say that like you got to this like quite high level of success in your early 20s in marketing, in corporate? And that's where you were like, oh God. I mean, for me, that like, so many people get to that point when they're in their 30s or 40s. Mm-hmm. Do you know where they're like, oh, finally I've reached this place. I mean, the holy grail was being a successful actor, because that's my background, and I only started training to be an actor in my late 20s. Like, and okay, I'd had some success in other industries before that, but like, I was like, no, this is what I really want. And it took me a while to get going. So I didn't actually get my first paying job as an actor until I was, I think, 33. And
different industries.
Yeah. But by the age of 37, when I was pregnant with my first child, I was kind of going, oh, like, I had a good bit of success in acting at that point and really enjoyed it. But I was going, Lisa, it's not the holy grail though. Like, it's not actually everything that you wanted it to be. And the main thing actually that connects in with what you were talking about was, this is not going to be family friendly. Like, I'm right. Like, it's not just that, because, you know, I know loads of people who make it work, but like, I knew that I didn't want this lifestyle, this actor lifestyle, where I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but in Ireland there's such, like, there's a social scene that goes along with it that you sort of almost have to be part of in order to be networking and be out there and whatever, and to be top of mind. And I was at the age of 37 going, I want to have a family, and I don't really love that lifestyle anyway, but it definitely doesn't marry with it. And I was like, okay, start again. So for me, when I look at like everything that you're saying, I get it. But God, you're fortunate that was, you know, you had that wherewithal when you were so young.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was the kind of the spark, you know, the catalyst of, okay, there's more out there. So it was really the very beginning of that journey. It was a few years later before I moved my whole life to the other side of the world, courtesy of an Australian husband. And then I was completely started from scratch.
So what age was that ish?
So I moved to Australia when I was 30.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, I think that in itself was a massive deal, because you're at that point in your life where, you know, you think you should have had it all figured out by now. And, you know, a lot of my friends were in kind of director type positions, you know, in their various careers. And here I was starting from scratch, where I had to re-find work. I was basically starting my career again. I had zero networks whatsoever. And Sydney is very relationship driven market. I had no immediate friendships, because I'd moved to the other side of the world. We didn't have anywhere to live. We had very little savings. The conversion of the pound sterling to the Australian dollar at the time was shockingly bad for those with pounds. And it was just this crazy time in my life where I'd gone from, you know, pretty decent lifestyle, income, seniority, to no one knows my name. No one cares that I have this amazing passion, but I want to do this.
Yeah, I know. That's so shocking, isn't it? It's shocking when people don't just like, go, oh, wow, the way you're going, oh, wow, about yourself and your passion.
It was like, it was an emotional rollercoaster. It was incredibly frustrating. And yeah, as I said, the only way I could figure things out the way I wanted to was to do it myself. And it would have been so much easier to have just taken a full-time 9-to-5. So much easier. I had a lot of people telling me I should just do that. Like, you just moved here, just get settled in, just get some money in the bank, blah, 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 blah. And I knew that if I didn't pursue this at that moment, it was just going to sit in a drawer and I was never going to come back to it because I would get comfortable. I'd get comfortable in that full-time 9-to-5.
And when you get comfortable, you get everything else that's sort of out of that comfort zone seems a lot more scary and seems a lot less doable.
Absolutely.
So yeah, like making that decision to sort of live outside of the comfort zone, you actually realize it. I mean, I think I kind of live there all the time now, you know, and it's a fun place to be most of the time, you know, like it's that, like, you know, when you get used to the stretch, like an elastic band, when you've stretched it and stretched it and stretched it, and then it's actually just bigger, right?
Yeah,
and then you go, oh, but I like the stretch. Stretch me again. Stretch me again. I like yoga, you know? But it is definitely something that you need to, it's a muscle that you need to exercise, right?
Absolutely. And that's confidence full stop, I think.
And then you have a baby.
And then I had a bloody baby and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Oh my goodness.
It's that so was funny, like, isn't yeah. it? Like you've got, like, you're so smart and you're like, right, this job is going to give me future flexibility. Like even just thinking that way is like so clued in. And, you know, most of us don't have that sort of wherewithal and that sort of future thinking, but you did and you were so smart. And yes, then you had a baby. Tell me about that.
Oh my goodness. So just to kind of paint the picture of my complete lack of experience with babies, I had never even changed a baby's nappy before I had my first daughter. I had never
really?
Been around babies.
Have any younger siblings or
not that much younger?
Cousins?
We were some of the last within my kind of husband's friends group to have kids because we'd just moved our lives, right? So I think we perhaps would have had children earlier if we hadn't moved to the other side of the world and restarted from scratch. But yeah, so it was a completely new experience for me and my family on the other side of the world. So I didn't have the kind of support networks either in navigating that transition to becoming a mom. And it was just, I just found it so overwhelming. Like, I was trying to follow this bloody book and the baby didn't follow the book. Like, she didn't sleep when she was supposed to sleep and she didn't feed as easily as she was supposed to feed. And I had a really tough time with breastfeeding and it was all very overwhelming.
You're telling my story. And you're telling a lot of our stories, to be honest with you. Go on.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we all have this idea of how it's going to be. And I'd had a really smooth, stress-free pregnancy. I felt great overall, you know, kind of little few bumps here, but nothing major at all. I'd had good energy. And then I suddenly I was like, oh gosh, what do I do? Like all day long, what do I do? And
I was so freaked out by that exact same thing. And also my main thing, like apart from, I had lots of main things, the bloody books. I read 6 books on how to get a child to sleep and none of them worked because the child didn't want to sleep. But also the other thing for me was that I was so afraid of being really bored with the baby because I really love working. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Like, what am I supposed to do? And it's so lonely as well.
That has been one of the biggest aha moments of motherhood is how lonely it is. Like, I think in society at large, you just kind of think of older people as the ones being lonely, but mums, especially first time mums, some of the loneliest people I know. I think just that shift from, I was so confident in my work by that point. Like, I just knew what I was doing. And at that moment in time, I had this crazy lifestyle where 3 days a week, I was in this, you know, high flying, fast paced corporate role, leading a team of people, working on multi-million dollar media campaigns, I mean, I led the strategy for a $200 million portfolio in my last corporate role. And I was have my own business on the side of that, working with clients, doing public speaking, all this stuff. And I had no confidence as a mum. And it was a very bizarre, uncomfortable, you know, shift from being used to knowing who I was, knowing my worth, knowing my value, knowing what I contributed, and having confidence in those, you know, those areas of my life, to having no confidence and being at home by myself all day, every day with this baby, and not really knowing, kind of what that meant for me at that moment in time. Now, I was. Do I even want this? Yeah.
I don't know if this is what I chose.
It was just, I guess you just can't predict what type of experience you're going to have. You can't predict what type of baby you're going to have. And as I said, you know, the lack of support, just because of being so far from my family, that was one of the hardest things. But you definitely go through a massive identity overhaul, whatever you want to call it, when you become a mum. It was an experience for sure. And definitely learned a lot about myself through it, really learned why I was having the business through that.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Yeah. Honestly, I joke, but it's the absolute truth. My business saved my sanity. Like, my business saved me from the loony bin during those first 12 months in particular. And it really brought me back from the brink of basically what was fully fledged postnatal anxiety at one point. And so I obviously scaled things back quite a lot in those early months. And after, well, I say that, I had this idea that I was going to pop out the baby, and a couple of weeks later, I was going to be on client calls again, because, you know, the baby will sleep in the corner. And, you know, I didn't kind of process the fact that I was going to be absolutely knackered. So anyway, obviously we made some adjustments to that original plan, but I was still doing something from kind of 4 weeks, when she was 4 weeks old. And thank God, because it was those calls, I had a mastermind group running at the time. I had one-on-one clients. It was those moments that just gave me a sense of, I guess, just a reminder of who I was. And always re-energized me. It didn't matter how sleep deprived I was at that moment in time, I always came off those calls energized. And that in itself just helped me be a better mom. You know, it helped me be more present. It brought me that boost of confidence back. It helped me feel more capable for the rest of that day, or rest of that week even. And it was just so reassuring that I had something else that was just mine. So I think that was one of the most important things for me.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I absolutely had almost identical experience. After my first child, went back to work 3 weeks later.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Now, I was working part-time, right? But I was at the time I was teaching performance arts to children. And I only had 4 classes a week. But I remember that feeling of like the week before my classes started back, I was sobbing. Now, I mean, my sister was there with me in the room. I was sitting at my kitchen counter on the little bar stool, and I was eating my dinner, and then suddenly I was like, oh, like comedy sobbing. But I have never felt that sense of despair as much as I did in that moment. And my baby was 3 weeks old, and I was like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to do this. I don't think this is what I chose. This is not how I pictured this. And the baby was good. The baby was fine. But it's all those hormones, and it's the anxiety. It's that postnatal anxiety that I think almost all mothers get, but almost nobody talks about. And I was raging. I was raging as well, because I'm a talker, and everyone who I spoke to about it, and I would meet mothers on the street and I'd just start crying. I go, this is not that, I don't know what to do.
it's so hard.
And they were like, yeah, it's so hard. And I'm not myself anymore and whatever. And they were like, yeah, I felt like that too. And I was like, what the fuck did you tell me? You know, and they're like, well, you can't, there's no way to tell somebody before they have a baby that they're going to feel like this. And I was like, there should be some warning. And it's not that the warning would have stopped me from having a baby, but the warning would have let me know that it was okay to feel like that, that it was normal, that it would pass, that it wouldn't last forever. But when I walked back into my classroom, 3.5 weeks after I had my baby, I had this sense of a weight being lifted. And what it really felt like was, oh, I am me. I am actually still me. Other people need me for other things apart from my boobs. And other people value me for other things apart from picking them up. And, you know, and it's not like it also let me know that this wasn't going to be forever. There was this knowing that, oh, okay, this is like my baby is going to grow up into a child that can walk around on its own. Like I was in a classroom. I was like, oh, he's going to do this someday. That'll be easier. You know?
Do you know, I had the funniest moment where, and I'll never forget it, because that at the time, that feels so far away, right? When you have a newborn, it feels like they're never going to grow up. They're always going to be a baby that needs constant routine checks and feeds and swaddling and whatnot. And I remember sitting with my husband on the sofa watching the TV and of a football match. And I just said to him, all of their parents got them through to adulthood. Like, it was just this, wow. Like, they all survived. Like, they're all still there. Like, this whole group of footballers. And they all made it to adulthood. And it was like, just everything felt so far in the future for me at that time. But yeah, it passes, as with everything. And it definitely has taught me so much as a person, not only as a mother, but also as a business owner. And there's just so many interesting parallels between what makes you successful in business, what makes you, you know, a present parent.
Yeah. Oh, we have frozen. Hold on.
Flows, you know, it's both of it's a roller coaster. Like, motherhood is a roller coaster. Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. And, you know, the same principles support you through both journeys.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me a little bit more about that then. Like, talk to me about the principles of motherhood that are similar to the principles of entrepreneurship.
So I think, we were touching on confidence before, and I think that's obviously one of the biggest things that everyone has to kind of navigate when they start a business and they thrust themselves into this whole new space. Mm. And I think the biggest kind of parallel for me between becoming a mom and becoming an entrepreneur is that when we have no choice but to follow through and do something, when it absolutely just falls with us, it's our responsibility, those mama bear instincts fire up, right? So when it's something to do with my daughters, even if I don't really know what I'm doing, even if it's a whole new space, even if I'm not sure of myself, I find a way, right? Because you have to, it's your babies. And my second daughter was unfortunately born with a lot of health challenges. And we were in this whole new unknown space where we were constantly searching for answers, constantly getting misdiagnoses. We traveled the length of the state to see specialists to get the right care for her. You know, I fought my way through all kinds of different barriers of people telling me there's nothing wrong and this is just how babies are and all that BS, which luckily as a second time mom, I knew was not correct, because ultimately it was all about her. And I think if we can recognize our ability to do that as a mom, right, we would do anything ultimately when it comes to our kids. Like, it doesn't matter how introverted you are. I'm an introvert. It doesn't matter how softly spoken you are naturally. I'm softly spoken. When it comes to our kids, we fight because we stand up for what is important to us and what it means to us. And we own that. And no one is going to tell us otherwise, right? And I think that what that really shows us and should reassure us around is that when something is important enough, when we feel that sense of purpose around it, when we're connected to the why we're doing something, then fear gets pushed aside because there's a higher value at play. There's something more important than that. And you'll have heard that expression, no doubt, that, you know, your dreams need to be bigger than your fears. And it's so true. But that's really taught me that, you know, there's always a mind over matter way to tackle fear if we've dug deep enough into what we're doing it all for. And I think, you know, some of the ways that I've overcome some of my biggest fears in business when it comes to, you know, visibility or just putting myself out there or charging higher prices or whatever it was at the time, it's really understanding, well, what and who am I doing it for? Yeah. And I think when we recognize, not only is it about who we're serving in our business and, you know, the impact that we know we can have with our gifts and skill sets and brilliance, it's about the impact on those as we grow that business to the place we want to, and the freedom and flexibility that comes with that, and how that's supporting and nurturing the people who are most important to us, right? And I think what keeps me going is that I will never give up the freedom and flexibility that I have today versus when I was in a 9-to-5. The idea of having to ask my boss for permission to go and travel with my daughter to get her the specialist care she needed. No way. My second daughter, Olivia, has taught me the very meaning of financial freedom. And that is not needing to think about paying these specialist bills, these medical bills, not needing to worry about taking time out of my business because she needed me. That's ultimately what it's all about. So yeah, for me, there's just been a lot of really powerful lessons, and to see how it all actually interweaves and interconnects is really incredible.
Wow. That was, I think, one of the most eloquently put ideas I've ever heard. And I'm so glad that you said it exactly the way that you did, because it's something that I often try to articulate. So I'm going to come back and listen to this properly again so that I can, like, maybe take some notes. Like, even yesterday I spoke to one of my clients about, because, you know, like, I'm a confidence coach. And it's the main thing that I'm teaching people how to be. But often, so I had a client yesterday who was finishing up with me. It was her last session. And, you know, I was saying, like, you know, how do you feel in comparison to how you thought you might feel at the end of these sessions? And she was like, it's funny, I don't know if I feel way more confident, but I definitely feel like I'm, for the first time, that I'm going to do my business, that she's gotten her first clients. She's like, she's got her, you know, her messaging to a place where she's really confident about it. She's, you know, but she still has lots of doubts and lots of, you know, and I was like, you know, you just get a little bit more used to the doubts. You get a little bit more, you know, comfortable in that space of stretching and being uncomfortable. But I said, now you really have to remember to treat your business as if it was one of your babies. Like, you cannot leave your business down there and just say, I'll be back to you in a few weeks, right? I'm not feeling it right now. You know, you can't do that with a
business.
Want
to adult today.
Yeah,
to parent just, today.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing, if you do that to your baby or your child, they're not going to survive. And it's the same thing with your business. And it's not that you're ever going to feel fully confident, fully like, yeah, I'm doing it. You're like, you know, but that's okay. There's hardly anybody who, you have moments of that. There's definitely some, you know, some highs, but a lot of it is, you know, just looking after it, just making sure that you know what it is, why you're doing it, who you're serving with it, and fighting for it. Like you just said, fighting
Absolutely.
For it. And yeah. Fighting for that lifestyle that it brings you as well. Like that's your why. That's you know, the other big thing that I often say to people when they're talking about their business, like if they're really like, oh, I just really want to help people. And that's great. And there has to be an element of that, especially if you're coaching people. But what's in it for you? Like there has to be something there for you to fight for, right? And I think that's what a lot of people, especially women, especially mothers, forget to connect in with. What's in it for me? Like, I'm important here too. I'm just
Absolutely.
As important as anybody else in the equation.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have to be emotionally connected to our dreams and our goals and our intentions, right? It has to be, because it's emotion that lights the fire. And I love what you said about, you know, it's not that other people don't feel fear, because I always say, you know, it's not the successful people that you're admiring and thinking are so far ahead of you don't feel fear. It's that they take action in spite of those fears. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. It's like a muscle that you flex. And the more you kind of come up against that sense of uncertainty and discomfort, the more you remember that you have the techniques to move through that and move past that. But it's not that you're ever going to be, you're never going to eliminate the fear of doing something different. Okay. It was just how we're wired. And, you know, I talk a lot, a lot of what I do in my work, even though I'm called a sales and messaging coach, is actually mindset, because of course, as we know, mindset is actually everything. And
it is
80% of what we're doing. Yeah. And the one thing we have to remember is how we are wired, because I think we get a lot of frustration come up for ourselves, or comparison traps where we're like, oh, it's easy for them for whatever reason, the story we tell ourselves, or it's okay for them because insert equally, you know, fictitious story. Yeah. And we feel frustration as to, well, why am I procrastinating when I know this is what I want to do and I'm still not taking the action? And so it's important to recognize it's because your subconscious mind has one key role, and that is to protect you from pain and keep you alive. But your subconscious mind cannot distinguish the difference between life-threatening danger and getting on a Facebook Live, you know, or having a sales call or saying your new prices out loud or whatever it might be. You know, it doesn't know the difference. And so the only thing that we can really do to get us through that moment of shit, I don't know if I can do it. It's all too much.
Yeah.
Is to think about how we're going to feel if we never do, and to bring that future pain forwards. And that's the only way to kind of flip the switch on the subconscious and, you know, basically play its own game, is, you know, how will I feel if I never make this happen? How will I feel if I know I could have had a completely different lifestyle? You know, it's that whole what if. And the short-term discomfort for me personally is a drop in the ocean compared to a lifetime of potential regret, of not tapping into my full potential, not seeing where this could have led, not seeing what I was capable of, not seeing the impact I could have had on others. And every time I come up against self-doubt, I remember my clients and the amazing things they're doing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in one small way or another, I helped pave that path for them.
Yeah.
And now they get to share their gifts.
I think
that always brings me back to Zenda.
That's it. That's so beautiful. And I share that with you. I always, when somebody signs up to be a client, I feel so excited for them. And I really congratulate them, because I'm like, you've now differentiated yourself from your past self. You've now differentiated yourself from the majority of people who will stay in that space of like, What if I could have just done that? Like, what would my life be like? Because there's no guarantee that you're going to succeed, you know, that's why I love setting intentions. You don't know if you're going to actually reach the goal, the intention, but you're going to do a lot of cool shit on the way there. And it might, like, and then you're going to do a lot of cooler shit than you would have if you'd just gone, no, I don't know. I don't know if I'm able for that, you know?
Right. And, you know, if not for yourself, then think of your kids again. Like,
exactly.
You know, make it about someone else. And I think that's another thing that's always got me out of my comfort zone, is I've made the commitment to someone else. So I have no choice but to follow through. That's how I got some of my first work. I just said yes. And then I figured out how I was going to do it afterwards.
it's something that I've heard recently, like, you know, one of the big, you know, reasons that people succeed is the ability to make a decision. Just make a decision, make a decision and move on. Because no decision is right or wrong. A decision just propels you in a certain direction. It's that commitment to, I'm doing it. Oh shit, I've gone the wrong way. It's grand. I can turn back. I've got feet. I can walk. It's fine. I've got everything I need to reroute, you know? We just so often like get stuck in that, I don't know what the right decision is. And that's often, I think, like, you know, with women, it's perfectionism that keeps them stuck and keeps them going. If it's not going to be perfect, I'm not going to do it because I'm supposed to be perfect, you know? But life's a lot messier than that, isn't it?
And here's the thing. You never know what the right decision is going to be. You'll never know until you actually take steps forward.
Yeah.
Right. Until you put something out there and get feedback and get momentum and see what works and what doesn't and refine and tweak along the way, you will never know.
Yeah.
That's so, it. You know, the hypothesizing will never end. You've just, clarity comes through taking action.
Yeah. And I think we enjoy hypothesizing. I think that's part of it.
Like, it's a safe place, right? Because then we don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, Holly, I could talk to you literally all day long, but we can't. We've got places to be.
We have lives and children.
Clients to see, children to feed. But tell me, I know you have an amazing free resource that you'd love to share with my audience. So let's hear about it.
Yes, I would. If it's helpful to everyone, I think one of the big stumbling blocks is, well, how do I get my stuff out there and how do I actually find clients? I built my business without paid advertising. And there's so many amazing organic strategies that are available to us. So I've created just a really simple cheat sheet for you, which is 20 fuss-free ways to find clients without paid ads. And you can get that at hollymccue.com/lionesstribe. So it's HOLYMACCUE.com/lionesstribe, and you can grab that free gift right there.
And we'll put it into the show notes as well so that people can just click it. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And I think my audience are going to really grab that and take it with both hands. Holly, thank you so much for your time, your inspiration, your motivation, your vulnerability, everything that you've brought to the interview today. I love you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for hosting me. It's been amazing.